Towards the bottom of Dalet on the base, the Gemara talks about the different angels flying at different speeds, whether they fly in 2 stops, and 4 stops, and 8 stops, and so on. The Tanakh talks about angels having wings. That's the way they visualize them. Kanafayim, shesh kanafayim v'echad, and they're flying. So we have a minig that we, when we say Kedusha, when we say Kadosh, 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 this is the shiur that the angels say in Tanakh. So just like the angels fly, so we jump up a little bit. And some understand the jumping up is to demonstrate that we're doing like the angels, that they're flying. So that's the question, when should one jump up? So the Shalor quotes an opinion only by Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. You shouldn't even jump up by Baruch Kvod Hashem and Komo. Shalor disagrees. He thinks that you jump up even by Yimloch. And the Pashtus is like neither. The Pashtus Yimloch was Dovin HaMelech. No. Yimloch is in Tilim. Yimloch is not Shiras HaMalochim. Kadosh, Kadosh, and Baruch Kvod Hashem and Komo. Those are from the Malochim. So the Pashtus is that the jumping up represents the flying of the Malochim. That should be all those lines that were recited by the Malochim. Chaim Elojin and Nefesh HaChaim gives a different shot in the minig, why you jump up. There's nothing, I don't know, according to him, maybe it doesn't have anything to do with the Shiras HaMalochim. So maybe you should jump up by Yimloch. Different minhagim. Okay. Then the Gemara talks about the Kriyash Ma'al Amita. Tosis on the first Tosis in the Masechta pointed out Kriyash Ma'al Amita for Shmira Ma'al Amazikim. And the Talmud Chacham who ain't a tzarech. He should say Psukim of Rachmim, Yot Chab Kedruchi, but he doesn't have to say, he doesn't need the Shmira Men Amazikim. That was Tosis Hasog against Rashi. Rashi said that Kriyash Malamita is for the purpose of fulfilling the Kriyash Ma Deraisa, because we said it Ben Ashmashas, and Ben Ashmashas for the first parsha, it's a Sveika Deraisa Lechumer, because the first parsha is Deraisa. The second parsha is only the Rabbanon, so Sveika the Rabbanon Lekulet, that's what it seems from Rashi. And Taisa said the whole thing is not correct, that you see from the Gemara that Kriyash Malamita is only for Shmira Mamun. Zikun Tamachachim doesn't need it. Maybe Rashi will say in the days of the Gemara they davened later. They didn't daven Ben Hashmashas. But then in the back of the Gemara they quote that Talmidim of Rashi quote in the Sefer Pardes, they quote in the name of Rashi that the Chasim Potem Kriyash Ma Laila Rishon and so on means Kriyash Ma'al Amita. The Chosin by the Chosin stitch, but when they daven Ma'ariv at the beginning of the wedding, they're davening so early, it's before Tzeis HaKrachovim. So then he davens then. He says Kriyash Ma then. He just doesn't say Kriyash Ma. He's nervous when he says Kriyash Ma'al when he's going to be with his wife, with his Kala. But when he davens 5 hours earlier before the whole Chuppah takes place, so then he does say Kriyash Ma. He's not nervous all the way then. So Rashi is interpreting that in the days of the Tanoim, that was the practice. Not only in the days of Rashi, the days of the Bali Ateis, that used to daven, say Kriyash Ma in the middle of Ma'ariv during the Zman of Ben Hashmashas. He claims in the days of the Tanoim it was so. So that's Tosis Kasha. The days of the Tanoim it was so. So how come the Gemara says the Talmud Chacham doesn't need Shmira Men Amazikim, so he doesn't have to say Kriyash Ma Lamita? If Rashi says Kriyash Malamita is for the purpose of fulfilling the Kriyash Ma Deraisa. That's Veka Deraisa Luchumer. So that was their kasha against Rashi.
When we're second, the rest of the say,
that's based on a Gemara in Shavuos. The Gemara says that's called Shir Shel Pigoyim. That's for Shmira Men Amazikim. So the Gemara in Shavuos says when they would be Mekadesh, the Azara, they would recite those Prokim and Tilim, Vihinoyam and so on. And that's what you say for Shmira Man Amazik when you go to sleep. Then Harein Mechel Chomish Uchati Kenegdi, that's based on a different Gemara. That one of the Chachamim says he had each Chomim, each one of the Tanoim and Amraim who lived to a ripe old age, so they asked him about Meharachta Yomim. So one of them says that he was always Maktabit, he was always careful that he would never go to sleep and have any tainus and tarumas against that. He was always Mechel everybody before he went to sleep. So that's what we say. No one should be punished because of me. That's based on a different Gemara. Each part of Kriyash Malamita is based on a different Gemara. So we put them all together. Yeah. The Gemara has when HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites Moshe Rabbeinu, other Gemara before that says, if a person sees that the Yetzer Hara is going to grab hold of him, So rigzu v'al tachto, yargizadim yetzitabli yetzar. You have to be mishtadil to see to it, to be menatzeach the yetzar. Im netzachemutim ulav yasik b'atayra. Im netzachemutim ulav yikru kriyashma b'mekabol amachashmaim. Im netzachemutim ulav. The last resort is yaskalo yamamisa. As it says, v'doy musela. When you drop dead, then you're quiet for the rest of. Period. You're quiet. V'doy musela. So that was the taina against the Musa movement, that the Bali Musa wanted to kill the Yetzirah people. So they went to the last resort. They had such dreary, when the Musa movement first started, it was such a dreary Musa. They were always talking about Yaskalo Yom HaMisa. So that's Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and many others were opposed to the whole movement. He said, you use that as a last resort. First you try to do Yargiz, then you try Liban HaTorah, then you say Shema Yisrael. We're not so sick that we have to reuse the most effective antidote, namely the Yaskir Yom HaMisa, because it's going to make us dreary. So there were many who were opposed to the Musa movement. And the late years, the whole nature of Musa changed. And in the late years, the Musa just became a Hashkafa. That's all. It wasn't as dreary as it used to be in the beginning of the movement. So that everybody, that's Rav Soloveitchik has in his essay, Yishaloch, the way Rabbi Yeruchim Levovitz gave Musa Shmosin, that kind of Musa, everybody agrees to that. That's not dreary. So that the Musa became accepted all over. Then the HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites Moshe Rabbeinu to come up to Har Sinai. I'll give you the Aseres HaDibros, VeHaTorah, the rest of the Chamish Shulchan Shem Torah, VeHaMitzvah, and the Torah Shebal Peh. Asher Kasafti is a reference to the rest of the Torah Shebichsav Da'ainu, Nevi'im Uksuvim Elohai Rosam is a reference to Talmud. So everything was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So this is the Gemara, that says that Moshe Rabbeinu was told all of the, doesn't necessarily mean he was told all the history that the Nevi'im are going to talk about. The aspects of history means any idea in Hashkofa that was revealed to the Nevi'im later was already revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So this is what Rashi in the end, Rashi in the beginning of Malachi, if not for the fact that this week is Mocha Chodesh, we would have said the Haftorah from Malachi. So the Haftorah starts with the words Masa Dabar Hashem B'Yad Malachi. So Rashi on that opening pasuk in Malachi says Masa Dabar Hashem, it's a message that was carried on from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Malachi, Chag Yisrael Malachi were the last prophets. The Baruch Hu was angry at Bnei Yisrael, so he wasn't going to send any Nevi'im. He was angry because hardly anybody showed up after Koresh gave permission to the Jews to move back to Eretz Yisrael. So just after 43,000 and changed, moved back to Eretz Yisrael. Everybody stayed, all the millions of Jews stayed behind in Bavel. They didn't want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So Kodesh Baruch Hu was angry, so he said he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. Let the people right away, let them do their sins. The Nevi'im, the role of a Navi is to give Tochacha, to give Musa. He's not going to send any more Nevi'im. Let them do all the Averis that they want, and they're going to suffer again. They're going to be punished because of it. So so Rashi says, so Malachi was the last Navi. Why did he send the three Nevi'im? Chag Yisrael Malachi, because that's a din. You can't build a Beis HaMikdosh. The Sheikh Nesidushu, the Sifrei, says, Drosh Al Pi Navi. You have to have authorization from a Navi to build the Beis HaMikdash, not only to build initially, to rebuild by Sheni, you have to have authorization from a Navi. So the Gemara says, Gimel Nevi'im, Olam Imayim, Mibabal. Three Nevi'im came back, Chazchar, Malachi, and each one gave a different Nevuah regarding a different aspect of the Binya by Sheni. And then Malachi signs off at the end of his Nevuah. Zichar Torah Moshe Abdi, you better remember the Torah, you better observe, I'm going to be the last Navi. No one else is going to give you any Musa. That's how the Malbim explains. He's signing off the whole Tkufa Sanavim. That's how Malachi ends off. The next Navi is going to be Eliyahu HaNavi, who's going to come the day before Mashiach. The Gemara in Erevin says, Boyom Hashem HaGadol B'Haner is referring to the Bias HaMashiach. So he signs off, he says, I'm going to be the last Navi. The Rashi says, there Masa D'Rashem B'Yad Malachi. Masa means, this was a message that is carried over generation after generation from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Asher Kasafti, and he's going to give the Divrei Torah that were told to Moshe Rabbeinu Hasina. Now is the Yazman that it should be transmitted to Bnei Yisrael. That's how Rashi, in the end of Chulin, interprets, the Gemara has an expression, the Gemara quotes Psukim from Nevi'im Uksuvim. So the Gemara says, Dibetam Dibikabola Loyapin, the first daf in Bobakam, daf base on the base. So Rashi pronounces the word Dibet Kabbalah. Kabbalah means that this is a tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Shita Mekubetzis on the first daf in Bava Kamma has a different pronunciation and a different translation. The Shita Mekubetzis holds that the correct pronunciation Dibetam Dibet Kivvalah. Dibet Kivvalah means, Likbol means to complain. The Nevi'im are always complaining and giving Musa to Bnei Yisrael. But Rashi in the end of Chulin, on the side of the Gemara, in the margin, and Bava Kamma base on the base, I tell you, look on the Rashi in the end of Chulin, Rabbi Kedeget Sechenzon, that the Rashi reads the Dibre Kabbalah, and Dibre Kabbalah means that this is a tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Asher Kasafti is a reference to Elu Nevi'im Uksuvim. We mentioned that's what the Mabit was, a younger contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. He was in the Bezdin of Rabbi Yosef Karo in Tzfat in the 1500s. They were all Sfardim, and at that time they were Ashkenazim and Eretz Bechlal. And the Mabit wrote the Sefer, Kiriya Sefer on the Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Kesem Mishnah, which is much more popular. Kesem Mishnah is printed on the side of the Rambam. It gives you all the Marmakot. The Kiriya Sefer is a funny Sefer. He gives a strange Marmakotimus all the time. He has always something original, something unusual. And then the Mabit also wrote a Sefer, Beis Elokim, about Hashkofa, which is quoted a lot. The Meshech Chochma quotes it, others, many others quote the Beis Elokim. So he was a Sfardi, the Mabit was a Sfardi. So he writes that when they recite Birchas Hamazon, they say at the end of the first Bracha, Kamur, Pesechus Yadecha, Mazbi Elchal Chai Ratzoy. So he has Takashi, the Gemara says in Shlosh Shochlu, that the Bracha Rishayna, Hazanus HaKob, was composed by Moshe Rabbeinu when the Mon came down. And then when they conquered Eretz Yisrael, then Yeshua Ben Nun composed the second Bracha. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Ha'oretz. Bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the food. That's Hazanus HaKol. Al Ha'oret, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave you Eretz Yisrael. So Yeshua Ben Nun composed the Baruch Hu after he completed the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara learns that Al Ha'oret HaToivu. HaToivu is a reference to Yerushalayim. Ha'or HaToiv HaZeh V'HaLevanon. And the Levanon is the Beis HaMikdash. Malbin Avinisem Shal Yisrael. It wipes off all the Averis. So the Gemara says in Shlosh Shochlu that David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as his capital after being the king in Hebron for 7 years. He became the king in Yerushalayim for the last 33 years of his life. So when he established Yerushalayim as the capital, he composed the first half of the bracha, of the third bracha. We're supposed to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yerushalayim. There are two aspects to Yerushalayim. The first aspect is that it's the Ir HaMelucha, it's the capital city of Eretz Yisrael. And the second aspect is that it's the makam of the Beis HaMikdash. But David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't permit him to. So the Gemara says, Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. He completed the second half of the third Baruch. Now we needed to have Beis HaMikdash, nor did we have Malchus Beis David. So we changed the whole Nusach HaBaruch HaRachimno. HaRachmanus HaMalchus Beis David Mishichecho. Rachimno HaBayis HaGadol HaKodesh HaNikra Shim Cholav. HaMachlot. Have Rachmanis on the Beis HaMikdash, and have Rachmanis on Malchus Beis David, and Yerushalayim, the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So the Mabit is bothered with Akasha. Where does it say, Pesach HaSedech HaMazbil Chochevetzon? That's an Ashrei. So how can it say, Ka'amur, this was written by Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ka'amur, as it says in Tillim, but Tillim wasn't composed yet, till later. So how can Moshe Rabbeinu compose the first Nusach HaBracha, and say Kamur Pesachus Yadecha Mazbil Chochevetzon? So the Mabit answers, the word Kamur doesn't. When Moshe Rabbeinu composed the Nusach, all of Nevi'im Ksuvim was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was delivered later. So Moshe Rabbeinu heard about this idea, Pesachus Yadecha Mazbil Chochevetzon. He wasn't told to deliver the message to Bnei Yisrael. When it came to Avraham Melech, to Baruch HaKodesh, he sent it over to Bnei Yisrael. But it already existed from the days Asher Kasafti Ela Nevi'im Ksuvim. So originally, when Moshe Rabbeinu composed the Bracha Hazanus HaKol, when the Mon came down from heaven, they had to recite Birchas HaMazon. So he composed Hazanus HaKol. So he said Pesach HaSedech, when Dabar HaMelech composed Tehillim, and it was incorporated into the Kisvei HaKodesh by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, or by the Tanoim, whoever it was. So then they added on the word Ka'amur, as it says in Tehillim. But in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't say Ka'amur, because it wasn't part of Tanakh yet. But they said, Pesachas Yadecha. That's the Mabit. Interesting, Einfall. And then HaMitzvah is the reference, Zum Mishnah, that's Torah Shebal Peh. So this I just pointed out, we have in other places. The Gemara says, in the beginning of the second parak in Chulin, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, in the Midbar, the Gemara says, they were allowed to eat Besar Nechira. They couldn't eat Nevela, Shemesa Meila. They were told the Harsinah they're not allowed to eat Nevelas, but if they would shoot an animal that would be Nevela, they wouldn't be allowed to eat it. If it died a natural death, they're not allowed to eat it, but if they would take a saw and cut off the head, that would be okay. Aye, but this was full of pegimas, and that's not the correct way to do. So let's say he's going to cut from the back, and he's going to cut the spine first, made it into a trefa. So apparently in the Midbar, that was not a problem. That was not a problem. The Chira Simanim and Atzaber was Nechira Sezui Shchitosa. That was the way they were Yotzei Shchita. When they came to Eretz Israel, the rules changed. And it says, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you want to eat meat, that's why it's called Bisar Taiva. Bisar Taiva means Bisar Chulin, because the Pasuk uses the expression, Kisav and Apshach Alechol Basar, you'll have a desire to eat flesh, B'cholav Zamshach HaTizbach V'yachalta. So it says, Tizbach, how does it say, V'zavachta Kasher Tzivisicha. That's the Lashon HaPasuk. V'zavachta Kasher Tzivisicha. So the Gemara said, what does that mean? In the Midbar, they did Nechira Simanim and Atzav and Nechira Sezui Shchitosa. The Chomish Hilcha Shchita didn't apply in the Midbar. When they come to Eretz Yisrael, then it says, Zavachta, Kasher Tzivisicha, as I told you about Peh. So the Gemara says, Kasher Tzivisicha has the connotation of implying that there are details in the Torah of Alpeh, how you're supposed to do the Shchita. The Gemara said, that's a reference to the Chomish Hilcha Shchita. Shehiyah, Drosach, Alod, the Hagroma, the Iker. That's implied by the phrase, Zavachta, Kasher Tzivisicha. Kasher Tzivisicha implies Torah Shabbat Peh. I mentioned the Rama quotes a Sifrei in another place. In the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Kodesh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to wage Milchama against the Midyanim. Tzoros HaMidyanim, Hikisim Osim, etc. So the Pasuk says that Bnei Yisrael waged war against Midyan, Kasher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe, as HaKodesh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, and then it says he waged war. Why is it necessary to write Kasher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe? So the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah Hilchos Malachim is called Hilchos Malachim U'Milchama Seihem. One of the major roles of the Melech is to lead the nation in Milchama when it's necessary. Sometimes Milchama is Rishus, most of the time Milchama is Mitzvah. You try to avoid Milchama is Rishus. But so the Rambam has all the Hilchos Malachim and Hilchos Malachim U'Milchama Seihem. So one of the dinim of Milchama is when you go to wage war, you don't surround the enemy on all four sides. If they see they're going to be surrounded, I'm suggesting maybe this is the reason, maybe there's a better reason. I'm suggesting maybe the reason is if they see that they're surrounded on all four sides and there's no way for them to run away, so then they're gonna fight back with more zam. If you surround them only on three sides and you leave one direction for the enemy to run away, so then they may run away. There's a chance to run away and you win the war, because there'll be a lot of desertions from the enemy. So the Rambam says, that's what the Sifrei says on that pasuk in the end of Bamidbar, Vayotzer al Moyav, Kasher Tziv Hashem es Moshe, there's some kind of Torah Shebal Peh here. The word mitzvah and Kasher Tzivah is an allusion to some halacha l'moshe misina, some Torah Shebal Peh. So the Gemara has over here on this pasuk, Alei alai ha'har betan chos l'chosev, ha'torah mitzvah, mitzvah is Torah Shebal Peh, Mishnayis. And the Hoyroi Sa means, because you can't really paskin from the Mishnayis, a lot of times Mishnayis quote an opinion that we don't paskin like, so the Hoyroi Sa is Talmud. That refers to the Gemara that tells you the final psak, how you paskin la'alach. The Hoyroi Sa is a Gemara. Malam chukulim nitna l'moshe misina. All the mitzvahs were given, everything, all the dinim were given to Moshe Rabbeinu Harsina. Rambam in the Hakdamah to Chumash writes, it's not exactly 100% accurate that every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai. Pesach Sheni wasn't told till later, and that some of the details of Yerusha weren't told till later on. But basically, all the dinim were told, with a few exceptions here and there. Basically, everything was said. Gemara said, one who learns Torah will not suffer. One who doesn't learn Torah will be punished ben Hashemayim. Gemara said, that's elementary. Everybody knows that. that there's Schar B'Yonish. A person learns Torah, he'll be protected, he'll be healthy. A person doesn't learn Torah, will be punished. He won't have any divine protection. And it says, Kalamachno Shesam Tivitzamli, Asmalech, if you follow all the mitzvahs of Torah, fine. So the Gemara says, if a person Imroya Adam Sheisurim by Molov, a person is suffering, he should realize it's probably because of his Aversa Yefashvish B'maisav. He should think through all of his activities and figure out which is the Aver. What Aver is he doing? Pishpesh V'loy Matza, if he's thinking through what could he possibly be guilty of and he can't think of anything, he should attribute the Yisurim to the fact that it's probably a punishment that he wise him about the learning. So that's Rab Chaim Voloshin. He asks, and Nefesh HaChaim, what do you mean, Pish Pish V'loy Matza? But then the Gemara says, Yitl B'Bitl Ter. So apparently there is Bitl Ter. If he can attribute it to the Bitl Ter, then he should assume that it's Yisurim Shalava. But if he can attribute it to the Bitl Ter, so what does it say originally? He should try to think what avera did he do, and then pishpish v'lay motzah, if he thinks and he can't come up with an avera, he should attribute it to bitl Torah. Obviously he did bitl Torah, so why didn't he think of that in the first place? What do you mean pishpish v'lay motzah? He's thinking, and he comes up, he does not have any avera, so he should assume that he does have an avera bitl Torah. But you just said pishpish v'lay motzah. So Rav Chaim Voloshin has a famous interpretation in his sefer, Nefesh HaChaim. He says, when based on Gemaras, always based on Gemaras, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes someone, so the punishment is always going to be a midah keneged midah. So if the person is punished, his eyes should have been learning Torah, and instead he uses his eyes to read other things, to look at other things. His hands should have been used to turn the pages of the Gemara, and he used hands to turn other pages, whatever. So the midah, the punishment is always going to be midah keneged midah. So Yefashbish b'maisav, he has stomach trouble, so you should think maybe he did an aver with his stomach, maybe he ate non-kosher food, he has trouble with his legs, and maybe he went to the wrong places, maybe he did an aver with your legs. Try to figure out midah keneged midah. So Gemara says, Yefashvish b'maisav, what aver did you do with that organ of the body that you're being punished midah keneged pishpish v'loy matzah? He doesn't remember that his eyes did an aver, his hands turned the page, he doesn't remember he was learning Torah. He doesn't see that there's any midah keneged midah. He said that the Gemara says yitl b'bitl Torah, because bitl Torah, the Gemara says, is keneged all the organs in the body. Because the Gemara says in Erevin, if a person has a headache, so he chosh b'rosha yasek b'Torah, chosh b'raglo yasek b'Torah. If his legs hurt, he shall learn Torah. Chosh b'chol gufa yasek b'Torah. Why? Because liman haTorah is the antidote to all sicknesses. It's keneged all the evarim in the body. So that's what it means. Yefashvish b'maisav, try to figure out what avera did he do that corresponds to the punishment, that it's a midah keneged midah. So how come he's being punished? And if pishpish v'lay matzah, he can't figure out a connection. This organ that I have the trouble with, I don't recall at all that I did any avera with it. Then Gemara says, bitl Torah, because liman haTorah and bitl Torah are mechuvin keneged all the organs in the body. You don't have to have that it should be a specific organ. That's how Rav Chaim Voloshin interprets over here. Pish pish for lematzah, itl bitl Torah. So why is lematzah? Why didn't he realize that he did bitl Torah? He says he did bitl Torah, but it's not midah keneged midah. So that's what we say. It doesn't have to be, because bitl Torah is keneged the whole body. The Gemara has this concept of yisurim shalahavo. Yeah, yisurim shalahavo. Eis hashaya yev Hashem yachiyach, that yisurim is not always because of Eretz. Sometimes you have a concept of Yisurim Shalahavo. Then the Gemara says, Yisurim Shalahavo, improve the person, but it's only, the Gemara says, if he's im kibble miyahavo. Only if kibble miyahavo. If lo kibble miyahavo, then then whatever the purpose of the Yisurim is to improve the person's personality, to improve his neshama, will not be accomplished. How do Mara know that it has to be the person who's suffering the Yisurim has to be Mikabal Miyavo? Talmud Loimar, Imtosim Osham Nafsho. Just like an Osham has to be Lidas, of Yisurim have to be Lidas. So that's a din in the Dorim. And Daf Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, Lamed Hey, Med Beis, Lamed Vav. The Gemara has a din that when you bring Chatas and Oshem to the Beis HaMikdash, that's Mechaper, so the Hakrova has to be Liritzono, has to be Midas, has to know. And the Gemara in Erechen about that, that when it comes to Korban Chatas and Oshem, that's Bola Chaper, so you can't shecht it without Taskoma of the Bala Korban. If he has a korban shlamim or korban oila, so we say zochen liyadam shleifonim. You also need yakar vosa liritzono. You have to have liritzono, but we assume he was magdish the korban, so he certainly wants it. So you don't have to ask him. But the chatas and nashim, you need explicitly that he should be midaito. So just like chatas and nashim, the hakrova has to be midaito. So to the yisurim shalom has to be mekabel me'ahava. The Gemara has towards the bottom of the daf, five lines from the bottom. Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, "Sholosh matanas tovus nos hanakadosh baruch hu yisal b'kulam l'nisanan ela al yedei yisurim." Which are the three? Is Torah and Eretz Yisrael and Olam Haba. Yeah, Torah, the Gemara says, a lot of people back out in the middle. A lot of people start learning and then they drop out in the middle. So the Gemara says, you shouldn't drop out. You only accomplish limud Torah with a little bit of Yisur. Doesn't have to be so much Yisur, but a little bit of Yisur. Yeah. So that's Yisurim Shalava, but sometimes a person did Averis and he has Yisurim to be Mechaper on the Averis. The Gemara has in the end of Yuma that there are four different Midas. Overall, Mitzvah says, a person doesn't wake up in time for his mind Kriya Shema. A person didn't like tefillin, he's negligent, doesn't always daven. The Gemara says that he does tshuva in his az mishama shemochon lo. They'll be mochel him immediately. If he does loy seseh, so tshuva teila v'yam kippur mechapa, need yam kippur to mechapa. If he violated krisis, so then tshuva and yam kippur accomplish a partial mechila. And Yisurim will be mashlim the kapar. So there's an inyan of having Yisurim. That's not Yisurim shalama, that's Yisurim for having done averis. That Yisurim is mechapa. And if there's oven chilal Hashem, that even the Yisurim are not going to help, but yom osa. So then the misa is going to be mechapa. So the Gemara talks about negoyim. Person has a negatzaras. So that's Yisur. That's Yisur. He's very aggravated about it. And then the Gemara says, what's the story with the Yisurim of the Tzaraz? The Gemara says, Halon v'halahu. Depends if it's in Eretz Yisrael or is it in Bavel. Why does it depend, Eretz Yisrael versus Bavel? So in Eretz Yisrael, there were ayoras ha-makav ha-schoy ma'asun shu'benun, that a Mitzor is not allowed to enter. And you can't enter Yerushalayim, even if you hold the Ola, Yadah Yaros HaMakabas Chaimah, lost, forfeited their level of Kedusha. But Yerushalayim still retained, we assume. The Rambam Paskin, Yerushalayim is Kedusha Lo Seilo, because the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is closed in the Makam HaMikdash, and Kedusha HaMikdash is Kedusha Lo Seilo. That's a Machlokes in the Gemara, in different places, whether the Makam HaMikdash is Kedusha L'Shaita only, only during the duration of the period of time that the Baal Sheni was standing, it should be assumed that it was Kitcha Losilov. So, Halacha Maisa Machlek is the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam writes that Kedusha Yerushalayim was everlasting. From the days that Shlomo Melech was Mekadosh, the Baal Rishon, so the Yerushalayim retained the Kedusha all along and never lost the Kedusha. And the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid thinks at the time of Churban Baal Rishon, the Makam HaMikdash lost its Kedusha and Yerushalayim forfeited its Kedusha. And then they had to be Mekadosh everything all over again at the beginning of the Baal Sheni period. And then And then at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, so the Ravid's opinion is that the whole Kedushas Beis Hamikdash was batla. And he says, the Rambam claims that if Adam Tomik walks on the Makam Azora today, he'll be Chayv Kares. So the Ravid says, all of our ayah, the burden of proof is on the Rambam to prove that it's so. Mechetesa, the Pashta says that the Kedushas Shni was batla, that there is no more Kedushas Beis Hamikdash. Yeah. So that's the Shaila, where the Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kedushas Lazalav. So the Rambam holds, not only Kedushas Hamikdash is Kedushas Lazalav from the days of Shlomo HaMelech, the whole Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kedushas Hamikdash. We have the Menchas Chinuch points out, we have an expression, Lifnei Hashem. And the expression appears a few times in Chumash. Sometimes it means you should shech the korban, v'shechat as ben habakar, Lifnei Hashem. Where do you have to shech korban? It's in the Azor. So Lifnei Hashem sometimes means the Azor. Sometimes it means in the Harabais, which is a lower level from Tusha. It says, that's a pasuk in Pesukah Zimra in Tehillim. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the third parak, that on the Tainis Siba he's supposed to blow Chatzaitzis, and on Rosh Hashanah he's supposed to blow Shofar. So in Migdosh, whenever they blew shofar, they blew chatzaitzis also. Whenever they blew chatzaitzis, they blew shofar also. So both on the Taneisim, as well as on Rosh Hashanah, in the Beis Hamikdash, they blew both. And on a Tainis and on Rosh Hashanah, they will blow both shofar and chatzaitzis. B'chatzaitzis, but kol shofar, ha'riyo lefnei melech Hashem. So on Rosh Hashanah, where the Iker is the Tekiah Shofar, and the Chatzais is just to enhance it. So the Shofar would blow in the middle, there would be three people. One to the right, one to the left, the Baal Tekiah, they would be blowing Chatzais to enhance the mitzvah of Shofar, and the Baal Tekiah of the Shofar would be standing in the middle. The Hodiah Sheikah Mitzvah Sayyam is B'Shofar. On the other days, on the other Tanesim, when the Iker is the Tekiah Chatzais, so they have the two Chatzais in the middle, and two people blowing Shofar to the right and to the left of the two people blowing the chatzaitzis, lohadiyah sheikah mitzvah sayayim is the chatzaitzis and the tainis sibah. But in Beis HaMikdosh, in Harabayis, they had both. The chatzaitzis was called shofar hariyah lefnei melech Hashem. Whenever you have one, you have to have the other. Whenever you have one, you have to have the other, if it's an inyan of tefillah. On Rosh Hashanah, blowing shofar is a form of tefillah. On the tainis sibah, they used to blow chatzaitzis like we blow shofar after Malchus, after Zechonis, after shofar. So the Ramban and Malchamis, and Rosh Hashanah draws a parallel that on a Tainis Tzibur, the Chazan would say the Shmon Esri Chazor Sashatz by Mincha, then he would add on six additional brachas. And at the conclusion of each one of the brachas, they would be blowing shofar, they would be blowing the Chatzaitz. So just like the shofar on Rosh Hashanah enhances the Tfilah shofar, Tkiyah shofar is a form of Tfilah, so too the Chatzaitz was on the Tainis Tzibur is a form of tefillah. So that's what you say. Beis Hamikdash is ki beis beis tefillah yikar lecholam. Beis Hamikdash is the makam, is the office, is the official location where all the prayers go. Shlomo HaMelech said when he completed the building of the Beis Hamikdash, everyone is going to come daven over here to the Beis Hamikdash. He doesn't say everyone should bring karbonas. He doesn't mention in his tefillah, doesn't mention karbonas at all. We usually think that's the ikar of the Beis Hamikdash. Shlomo HaMelech didn't mention it. He says, if there'll be an epidemic, if there'll be a war, if there'll be a sichsuch between one country and the other, or one family and the other, one person and the other, they should all come to the Beis Hamikdash to pray. And if you can't come to pray, you're somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael, so you should face Hispada Alecha Derech Ir Azos. They should face Yerushalayim. And if you're in Chutz L'Arts, Hispada Alecha Derech Artsom. They should face Eretz Yisrael. So that's because the Kibesa Beis Tfilah Yikari L'Chol Ha'am, and Beis Hamikdash is a Makam Tfilah. So that's why Shlomo HaMelech is encouraging everyone should come to the Beis HaMikdash and to daven. So the Mishnayos and Erechin say that on 21 days in the course of the year, and especially Yom Tov, they used to blow Chatzaitzis as part of the musical accompaniment for the Shir Shalyom. When the Levim would play music and they would sing the Shir Shalyom, so special occasions they would blow chatzaitzis. They didn't blow shofar with the chatzaitzis. I think this Fasemis asked the kasha. Doesn't it say b'chatzaitzis v'kol shofar hariyah lefnei melech Hashem? Whenever you have one, you have to have both. If you're not in the Harabayis, if you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow chatzotzes. Why? Because the Gemara says, only lefnei HaMelech Hashem. When you're in the Harabayis, the Gemara says. If you're not in the Harabayis, then you don't have to have both. And Rosh Hashanah, blow shofar on the Tanasig, but you blow chatzotzes. If it's lefnei HaMelech Hashem, when you have one, then you have the other. But that's only Bamidbar Ma'amurim. If you have one for tefillah, on Rosh Hashanah, the Tkiyas Shofar is to enhance the davening. On the Taina Siba, the Tkiyas Chatzetzis is to enhance the davening. So Beis HaMikdash, that's the Yikam Mokam, that's basically Beis Tefillah Yikare. The Beis HaMikdash is the office, the official place, where all the prayers go through the Beis HaMikdash, they go to heaven. So there you have to have both Shofar and Chatzetzis. But if they're blowing Chatzetzis for a Nigan, and the Shofar is going to ruin the Nigan, so you don't blow. There is no din yet. Always have to have. Whenever you have chatzotzer, you have to have shofar. Whenever you have chatzotzer for the purpose of enhancing the davening, at the end of the six added brachas at the Chazan Adzan, and the Chazaras HaShatz of Mincha and the Tainus Sibur, they blow shofar, so they blow chatzotzer, so in the Harabais they blew shofar together with it. So again, so the Menchas Chinuch says the word Lifnei Hashem has different meanings in different psukim. Sometimes have a shachar that's ben abaka Lifnei Hashem by Yikra, chapter Aleph, it means in the Azara. You can't shech the karbonis and the harabai, so it'll be nifsal b'yotze. And this pasuk can tell him b'chatzotzes with kol shofar ariel of ne'emal Hashem. That doesn't go in Azorah. That goes on harabai. The Gemara says, and harabai doesn't go anywhere else. Only harabai. And then it says v'achalto sham lefnei Hashem alkecha ma'aseh digoncha v'siroshcha v'tzarecha v'karis b'karcha v'tzeinach v'eri ma'aseh sheni in Yerushalayim. And it's called v'achalto sham lefnei Hashem alkecha. So Lefnei Hashem, and Min Chaschina points, it sometimes means Yerushalayim, sometimes means Harabai, sometimes means Azar. Why? Because all three, there are different levels. The Mishnah has in Kalim, Perek Aleph, Eser Kedusha, saying there are 10 levels of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. The main concentration of the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash, if you can use that word, is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bein Shnei Abadim. And then the Heichal is a slightly lower level of Kedusha, Bein Hul of Olam Mizbech, a slightly lower level of Kedusha. The Azor is a lower level, Harbais is a lower level, Yerushalayim is a lower level, Ayoros HaMekobes Chaim, all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. But the word Lefnei Hashem sometimes means Yerushalayim, and sometimes means Harabais, and sometimes means even more restricted. It means Azor. So Nachamal. So that's why the Rambam writes in Hilchas Beis HaBchira, the Rambam Shita is that the Mokam HaMikdash was Kitcha Los Lovu. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, the Mokam was Nizkadish, period, and that's it. And then the Kedusha never disappeared. So the Rambam holds, not only is that true, but again, to the Mokam HaMikdash, the whole Yerushalayim, because all Yerushalayim has a lower level of Kedusha's HaMikdash. The Rabbi disagrees even on the Beis HaMikdash. He holds that at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash disappeared, and that when they built the Bayis Shena, they had to be reinstitute the Kedusha all over again. So then when they, it's a Machlokes HaTanaim, it's Machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid, which opinion do we accept? So the Ravid thinks that when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed again, the Kedusha vanished into thin air and it disappeared. Kedusha HaMikdash was lo kitcha lo selo. So the Rishonim say over here, holon v'holuhu, that if a person is a Metzora and Chutz Loretz, he's not restricted from doing anything. There's no Ayaris HaMekafes Chaim and Chutz Loretz. He doesn't. There are Ayaris HaMekafes Chaim and Chutz Loretz vis-a-vis Mikra Megillah and Tezvav, that they lay in the Megillah on Shushan Purim. Prague and other cities, they think that maybe had a wall in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. So that's Beferish and the Gemara. They ran in Megillah, they ran on the Rif quotes. There was an opinion that Ayaris HaMekafes Chaim, read the Megillah and Tezvav, is only if the Ayaris HaMekafes Chaim are located in Eretz Yisrael. Ayaris HaMekafes Chaim and Chutz Loretz don't have any special status. Neither here nor there. It doesn't mean anything. So the Ran says it's against the Gemara. The Gemara said the Pharisees, they were Ayaris HaMekafes Chaim in Bovel, the Moshe Yishuv Ben Nun, and then they read the Megillah and Tezvot. So it's not the same din. Ayaris HaMekafes Chaim have special din, but a Mitzor is Mishtaleach, and the special din in Gula's Batim can only be girl within the first year. And if the whole first year went by, Yomim Tiv Gulos, and if the first year went by, wasn't quite the, he didn't buy back the house, then his farfam never gets it back, doesn't go back to Yovel. So that dinam, those dinam only apply to Yoros HaMekafes Chaim Eretz Yisrael. So again, so the Gemara says, Abi Holon v'holohu, the Metzora who lives in Eretz Yisrael is restricted. So that's he's suffering. So So that's Yisurim, that's probably Yisurim Sheinim Shalahava. But Ayoris, because he's restricted, he can't function normally. But if a person is a Metzora in Bavel, there are no restrictions, there are no din of Ayoris HaMakavs Chaim, that he's not allowed to enter. In Tanakh, the story is told, it's the Haftarah Parshas Metzora, I think. Abba Metzorim HaYoshim Pesach Shar Shamron. Why would I Pesach HaShar? Because they treated Shamron like an ear HaMakavs Chaim, and Moshe Shubinon. Even though it says there Beferish, Shamron was built in the days of Eliyahu Hanav, in the days of Elisha, so it clearly was not Mukav Chaima, Moshe Shubinon. So the Malbim explained on the Pasuk, it was a minig. They had a minig to treat Shamron, the city Shamron, as if it had been a near HaMakavs Chaim, Moshe Shubinon. But strictly speaking, it wasn't. It was built just 100 years before that story. But the Abba Mitzorim was, but they were sitting Pesach Shah Shamron, the meaning was that they treat the city Shamron as if it had been a din of Amukav Chom Moshe Shubin. No, the Mitzvah is not allowed to enter. Some thought the Mitzvah is not allowed to enter Ayaros Amukav Chom because Tzaras is a contagious disease. So you don't cause other people to get sick. That doesn't seem to be the reason why. The Gemara has a suffix, but then the Mitzvah who observes Asafam Yata V'Tamei Tamei Yikra, he observes certain aspects of Avelus on himself. He's sitting shiva for himself because of Tzorah Choshev Kenes. So Gemara has a sofek. If somebody dies on Yontav, you don't observe shiva on Yontav HaChalamoy because of Simchas Yontav. Simchas Yontav and Avelus are attached to Sasri, so one does not observe Avelus on Yontav. So Gemara has a sofek. Mitzorah Ma'ashin et Tzorata Beregel. Does the Mitzorah observe? So what was the sofek answer? Rashi said the sofek was on Shiluach Machnes. Does he have to stay out of the Machnes? So if you say they're like the flame, Balabatu Shesechel, he can't go into a big city, it's a contagious disease, it's going to get everybody sick. San Chalma, you're allowed to. So obviously, you see from the way Rashi read the Gemara, it's not because it's a contagious disease, it's a din of Avelus, it's a new Avelus, and Gemara had a suffix. One doesn't observe Avelus on a mace. If someone dies, you don't observe Avelus on Chalamoy. What about the Avelus of a Metzora? He's observing Avelus on himself. Because the Metzora is Choshev Kemeis, yeah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechana had a strange practice. When he used to go be Menachem Avol, someone who lost a child, he would carry with him a bone from his tenth, he lost 10 sons, one after the other, after the other. He would say, Den garba dasi rabbi, this bone is from the dead body of my 10th son who died. What do you mean? He walked around with a bone? There's no mitzvah of kvura on the bone? And the bone is not metame? He's going to walk around with a bone. He's going to walk into shul. They're going to be kohanim there. They're going to be tumas ohel. What's going on over here? It's not ton kvura. So some say that the bone was a tooth. That's how it says on the side. Ba'orach erach garma pirish oso etzem shein hoya. It was a tooth. Ein metame. Chen kasa rashbam that a tooth is not metame. Others say, Den garma dasi ra, this is a piece of bone from the flesh that they served me by the Sudas Avra. Den garma dasi ra, beer. Beer means Sudas Avra. Not beer means the sun. Yesh Mephoshim, beer means Sudas Avra. That's what Rishonim say. It's proper to give for Sudas Avra, basu v'yayin. Yayin is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, dafayin. Gemara has a lotion, la nivra yayin elo nachem bo yisro avelim. Shenemah, they quote a pasuk from Mishlei. To relax the tensions, but the That's in the Gemara, that Sudas Avra should have yayin. And Hagos Mamini on the bottom of the Rambam writes, it should be a recovered dika meal, not stam bagels and lox, which are cream cheese. You should give a fleshy meal, basa b'yayin, to the Sudas Avra. So the Rishonim had that. He told me that Rabbi Breuer, Zohan al-Bach, used to be makbid for the wine. That's in the Gemara, but he wouldn't be makbid on the flesh. But the Rishonim have like that. It should be Basaviyayim by Sudas Avra. So the Gemara says, in the days of the Amoraim, they had some kind of the ability of Yayv LeYodei Buukmei. A tzaddik would come to be Mebaka Chayla, a person who was deathly sick. He would shake his hand and wish him he would be Mispalal and give him a bracha. You should have life. You should have an Arichas Yamin. And they would be able to get better. So the Gemara says, so if the tzaddik has the ability to take care of someone else, Yavle Yadei, V'ukmei, to get him up. So what if the tzaddik himself is deathly sick? What does he need another person? Rabbi Hanina goes and he visits Rabbi Yochanan, yad le'yadei v'ukmei. Let Rabbi Yochanan was able to be mechaya other people who were deathly sick, so why couldn't he be mechaya himself? Mara says, no, ein chovish matarazim beis hasam. It doesn't work like that. You have the ability to take care of someone else. You don't have the ability to take care of yourself. Ein chovish matarazim beis hasam. That's the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in the end of Min Noches, Daf Kuf Yud, Echad Amar Bevechad Amamed, Vat Sheichab Min Libo L'Hashemayim. The Gemara says, one who learns Torah, the one that some people have the ability, they learn a lot, other people learn a little, everyone gets a reward, Vat Sheichab Min Libo L'Hashemayim. Yeah, what is the mocker for that idea? Shaninu, the Mishnah tells us, Echad Amar Bevechad Amamed. The mocker is, that it says, Reich Nichoyach by Mincha, you buy for $10. And then say, Reich Nichoyach by a Behema, that cost $1,000. So the same thing, the same Reich Nichoyach for $10 Mincha and for $1,000 Korban of a Behema. So the Mishnah says, yes, whatever you can afford. If you can afford $1,000,000 and you only get away with $10, then you don't say, Echad Amar Reich Amamed. It means you do to the maximum of your ability, say, Echad Amar Reich Amamed, but you haven't lived by Lashemar. So that's the piyut that we say, the zmiris that we say, on Shabbos, Hashem, Shabbos, Abbeinim, Abbas, Lekel Yerotze, Kemincha, Amachas. How well can the children observe Shabbos? They don't know all the Mishnah Berurah, the Shmir Shabbos, Kalchasa. For sure they're going to be Machal Shabbos by mistake. But Echan Amar, Echan Amamet, they say, Hashem, Shabbos, Abbeinim, Abbas, the little children observe Shabbos to the best of their ability, Lekel Yerotze, Kemincha Machmas, just like the Mincha is Echad Amar Echad Amamid, because it says Reach Nichoach by Mincha, $10 Mincha, it says Reach Nichoach by the $1,000 carbon. So too over here, by Shmir Shabbos, the young children, when they observe Shabbos, that's the best they can do, the best of their ability. So shine. Then the Gemara has that the married people should have their beds being softened l'dorim. Shouldn't have it being misuch l'mayrov, because that's what Rashi says goes on married people. When they're together with their wives, so the bed should be softened l'dorim, shouldn't be misuch l'mayrov, because then it's as if you pogen the covet of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, that's how Tosi says. Also, genai hulushke v'etzalishtoi, and have tashmish if it's mizruch amar. So it should be tzof and vidor. Others say it even goes on a single person, not only on married people who are together. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, Vayasim chizkiyo upon a balakir, vayispalel, that you shouldn't have a double chaytzes bein ola bein akir. If you daven in a shul and there are stenders and there are tables and there are chairs, that's normal furniture, that's okay. But if all of a sudden they delivered an air conditioner and the box of the air conditioner is there, the guy's going to daven, that's not normally there. So that they shouldn't have it in front of him, because his mind is going to wander. He's going to see something there, so his mind is going to wander. So you really shouldn't have anything that distracts your attention. In the days of the Rishonim, they used to have paintings on the ceiling. I remember my father, Shul in Philadelphia, had paintings of Avraham Avinu, greeting the angels on the ceiling. I must have been a little child, so I thought it was like 10 flights up. It was probably not so high. It was a women's section, and my imagination is that, as I recall, that it was very high up. So they had things. So that used to distract people. You have paintings of animals and paintings of malochen and paintings of whatever. That's going to take away from your attention. So that's what the Gemara says. Shouldn't have something than all the Bein Akir. Shouldn't have anything to distract you. Yeah, this Gemara about Tzof and Vidorim, so in the Zohar it says just the reverse. So they quote in the history books that Rav Chaim Volozhinnik went and asked the Vilna Gaon to steer it, because Vilna Gaon said there are no contradictions. He used to say no contradiction in the Gemara, and the Zohar there's only one contradiction with respect to walking down the ramps behind someone who's davening Shmoneh Esrei. that according to the Zohar, even to walk behind is not allowed. And according to the Gemara, only to walk in front or on the side is also, but to walk behind would be mutter. And in Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon Takam, and it says in Shulchan Aruch like that, you're permitted to walk toch davarams behind the person is davening Shmon Esrei. So the Bi'ur HaGra writes, Ayin Zohar. Whenever he usually he gives Mar Mekoymus. Whenever he wants to disagree, he says, Ayin, look over there, and he doesn't tell you what it says over there. Like the Ramos says in Hilchas Pidyon HaBen. I learned a little bit of Hilchas Pidyon HaBen today. So the Ramos quotes a Rivosh, he can't do Pidyon HaBen al Yidei Shliach. You have to do Pidyon HaBen, the father has to do Pidyon HaBen in person. And the Chassam Sofer says the reason why, because Pidyon HaBen is Zechon HaMakas B'chorot, HaMakas B'chorot says, Marti Be'eretzam B'alayla Hazah, Aniva Lo Shliach. Rabbeinu Shalom did it himself. So just like he did HaMakas B'chorot, Aniva Lo HaShliach, so the father should do Pidyon HaBen B'loy HaShliach. So the Shach disagrees with the Ramah, and he tells you, look in the Sefer Tzedek LaDerech. Tzedek LaDerech, he tells you, is a Sefer, a commentary on Pirush Rashi al HaTor. Like we have the Sibsei Chachamim, quotes from the Mizrahi and from the Maral Miprag, and different Chiburim on Pirush Rashi. So the Tzedek LaDerech is another commentary on Rashi, written by the same author as the Be'er Sheva. I think it was a Talmud of the Labush or something from the late 1500s. I think so. I think it's the same author as the Be'er Sheva. So the Shach says, look in the Tzedek LaDerech, that he brings many rayas against this Rivosh. So the Vilna Gaon, when the Ramos says, he can't do Pinyon HaBen Yedei Shliach, so the Vilna Gaon holds that it's wrong. So he writes, Ayin Shach. Look in the Shach means, I don't agree. He doesn't agree. Usually just gives Mar Mekoymus. Whenever he says Ayin, he means he disagrees. Look over there and you see that all the Mar Mekoymus are not correct. Every so often, the Vilna Gaon will write Ayin Shach or Ayin Taz. It means he disagrees. Ayin means that he disagrees. Yeah, so the Vilna Gaon said there's never any stira. So Rav Chaim Olasher asked him, what do you do here? The Gemara says the bed should be Bein Sof and the Dorim. And the Zohar says just the reverse, that the married people should have the bed Bein Mizrach HaMarim. So he gave him some kind of a yishuv. Rav Chaim Olasher forgot the yishuv, he forgot the teretz. But one thing, he walked out, this he remembered. Vilna Gaon said there's never any steer between the Gemara and the Zohar, only with respect to walking the Dalai Lama's behind the one who's davening Shmon Esrei. So when they print this, they have the old svarim about the Vilna Gaon, Alias Eliyahu and Sa'oris Eliyahu. So one of those svarim, so they quote this, and then they have a long footnote that the Achronim have in over 20 places. They think that there's a machlekes between the Nigla and the Nista. Collects in the Gemara and the Zohar with respect to Shiloh HaKan, respect to other mitzvahs, how exactly do you observe the mitzvah? So they say they don't know how the Vilna Gaon is going to deal with all these cases that the other poskim say that there are stiras between the Gemara and the Zohar. Then the Gemara says it's not right. The Bati Knesias years ago used to be Basoda. So if two people went into, if a guy walks in on his own and he's davening Myra, if they're all by himself, and then I walk in, I see he's davening Myra, I have the right to walk out. He started davening all by himself, so he was prepared to daven there. He wasn't nervous. Okay, so I'm not mukhayef to keep him company to hold his hand. But if he both walked in together, both daven Myra, and then he takes longer than me, he finishes davening. So that's not right, the Gemara says. Shtaim shenichnasu lehispala. They both walked in together. And each guy felt more comfortable because the other guy was with them. Because it's basada. You can have a terrorist come and attack you. You can have an animal walk into the shul. Who knows what's going to happen? One of them finished davening, and he doesn't wait till the other guy. So that's not right. You should wait till the other fellow finished davening. So that's a shala. Does it apply even in a shul in the middle of the city? Does it often apply basada? So that's what the Tosfos discusses. So the meaning is that you should be makbid even... That's the top thesis. The mikra din pirush haben tam that the din really only applies, but based on knesset shabasada, but kach balayla yesh lahamtin balayla basada. But if it's bayom and if it's in the middle of the city, what are you worried about? And the meaning is that you makbid even if it is bayom and so on. Then the Gemara has how many germs there are all over the place. Okay. They're not visible to the naked eye, but if you look under the microscope, You see all the millions of germs. Right? Then the Gemara says you should always daven in the Beis HaKnesses. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Even if you daven in Bechidus, you should daven in Beis HaKnesses. Unless it's the rabbi. So it's going to be a bizayin atar. The rabbi woke up late, he's going to daven in shul. So you should make believe he went to another shul and he davened at a bris somewhere. Something. The rabbi should make a bizayin atar by davening, it says in Shulchan Aruch, by davening Bechidus in the shul after this month later. Yerushalmi has. Dirush Hashem behimotso. So the Bavli understand behimotso at that season of the year that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself more accessible, namely, Aseres Mei Tshuva. Yerushalmi says behimotso means be-beis HaKnesses. You should daven, you should always daven in Beis HaKnesses. And the Bavli says it from based on a different pasuk, but it's the same thing. Or has a karate, the Rebbe Shlom wears tefillin. What do you mean? He doesn't have a body. How can he wear tefillin? It's not to be understood. So Rav Soloveitchik said, maybe what the Gemara means to say is that there are certain mitzvahs that we were instructed to do because by fulfilling this, we are fulfilling the halach de bedrach, we're going in the ways of Hashem. So they had a tradition that wearing tefillin enhances your tzelem alakim. Every person was created with tzelem alakim. And if you, and we were instructed the halachta b'drachot to preserve the tzelem alakim by imitating the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara means to say somehow we have an image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. So it means when we wear tefillin, we are enhancing our tzelem alakim. We are preserving our tzelem alakim. So that's what it means. Rashi and Bereshis quotes a medrash that says, "Hichte b'yatzma menucha." It says that Hashem created the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. He didn't have to rest. He didn't have to work hard in the first 6 days to create the world. It's basar mamar is never ha'olam. He just expressed a mimer. A mimer means a spoken statement. And over here, there's no one to talk to, so it just means a ratzan Hashem. Hashem expressed a ratzan. He wants all the things to come into existence. And everything came into existence. So why does it say, Shavas v'ayinofash, that hichta v'yatzma menucha, He dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, put in the Chumash that I rested up, that I relaxed. Why? It's not true. It's a lie. He didn't rest up. He didn't work hard. What is it to rest up? It's not true, but it's not false either. It means that he stopped creating Yesh Me'ayin. So, Hichtav Yatzma Menucha, he dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, right, as if I rested, to teach the people that they have to do V'halach to Bedrachav, they shouldn't become workaholics. If they want to work 6 days a week, fine, but on Shabbos they have to relax. Have to take it easy. So sometimes you have hichtiv miatz, hichtiv yatzma. The Baruch Shalom dictates to Moshe Rabbeinu, write as if I did something, even though it's not, write as if I wear tefillin. Even though he doesn't wear tefillin, doesn't have a body. He's trying to bring out a certain idea that wearing tefillin is one of the darchei Hashem. Then the Gemara says, Menash HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mispalo, the Baruch Shalom davens. What do you mean? Who does he daven to? He davens to himself. It doesn't make sense to daven to yourself. Hichtiv yatzma tefillo. He dictated to the Nevi'im, right in the Tanakh, as if I daven, that the people should realize that by their davening, that's a way to preserve their tzelem alakim. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. It's not really so. He doesn't have a body. Then Gemara says, what did it say in the Dalet Parshias of the Shal Yad with the Shal Rosh? So just like, Atem asisuni chativ achas bo'ilam, just like we write in the parshas, Hashem Echad, God is unique, God is unusual. Chativ Achas means something unique. Rashi and Chumash translates Hashem Alakenu, Hashem Echad, God who is now only our God, because the other nations of the world don't accept Him. The day will come, Hashem Echad, God will be accepted by all the nations of the world as the one and only God. That's how Rashi learned the Chumash. The Rambam learns, Ma'isal Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem means that we believe in monotheism. We don't believe in the Trinity. And the Gemara has in Gansan a third shot. Hashem Echad, God is unique. There's nothing like Him. And Melech, there's only one God, because He's unique. If there'd be another God, He wouldn't be unique. So that's what the Gemara says. Hashem Echad means, Atem asisune chativa achas boel. It's the Gemara here in the Chagiga, Daf Gimel Amanav. The same Gemara appears there. the word echod sometimes. So the Gemara Megillah, you should pick the miyuchad shebe'edro, the most unusually healthy animal to be makriv as a korban tamid. So the word echod sometimes means echod hamiyuchad. So here also, atem asisuni chativ achas ba'olam. So that's what it says in our tefillin. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's unique. I'm saying His tefillin, Mikam Chesol Ge'echot Ba'aretz. He praises us. He declares that we are Chativ Achaz, that we are unique people, which we certainly are. Jewish people are absolutely unique. No two ways about it. Yeah. The Gemara has a comment. V'ro kol ha'aretz k'shem Hashem nikra lech v'yorim imek eilu tefillin shebarosh. Pasha pshat and the pasuk doesn't mean that. Pasha pshat is that the pasuk, that pasuk in Kisav appears right after the pasuk that says v'halachta b'drachav. V'halachta b'drachav, you should imitate the ways of Hashem to preserve yitzel malakim. Then it says, "Hemshech, v'ro kol ha'aretz." When all the nations of the world were realized, "Yishem Hashem nikra lecha," that you, the Jewish people, have succeeded in preserving your tzelem alekim. "Yishem Hashem nikra lecha" means you have preserved your tzelem alekim. "V'yaru mimecha," they will learn from you how they should act with Yerushalayim. They can also preserve their tzelem alekim. They were also created with tzelem alekim. That's how the Vilna Gaon says. The Ben Ezra has part of it. The Vilna Gaon says that that's the pasuk pshat and the pasuk that the Jewish people are all agoyim. It's supposed to show the nations of the world the proper way to act. So one of the proper ways to act is by preserving Yitzel HaMalakim. V'alachta b'drachav. So we should show the Ummah Soilim. V'ro kalam hearts that we have succeeded, we'll show them we have succeeded in preserving Yitzel HaMalakim. So they will learn from us how they can do the same. They can preserve Yitzel HaMalakim also. So that's the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara here has an additional level of interpretation. And all the Ummah Soilim will see that we're wearing Tefillin Shel Rosh, so then they'll be afraid of us. Not the Yorim in Mecca, they will learn from us how to act with Yorim Shamayim, how they can improve their Neshamas, how they can preserve their Tzalim Alekim. The Yorim in Mecca, they'll be afraid to start up with them. It's a different level of interpretation. According to the additional level of interpretation that the Gemara says, "V'ro kol ha'aretz k'shem Hashem nikra lecha" goes on Tefillin Shel Rosh. So, why is "Shem Hashem nikra lecha" only on Tefillin Shel Rosh, not on Tefillin Shel Yad? What's unique about the Tefillin Shel Rosh? So, what does Tosfos say? "Elon Tefillin Shel Rosh lefi sheish b'em ro shem shel shin dalad yun." Shel Rosh has a shin on the bayis. Then you have the Dalit in the back, and just missing the Yud. The Yud is on the Shal Yad. So that's what Tosfos quotes from Rashi, that the Tefillin Shel Rosh has two-thirds of the letters, and the Tefillin Shel Yad has the one-third. It just has the one letter of the Yud. Pirush Rashi, right. That's what Tosfos is quoting it from Rashi. So Tosfos is not happy with the Rashi. This is a famous Tosfos. Tosfos is not happy with the Rashi because the Gemara in Bamei Madlikin, Daf Chav Chesam in Beit Gemara, says that there is a halacha Moshe Misina lehukshu lemelach haShamayim velor behemah Torah belvad. So the Gemara asks, what do you need a halacha Moshe Misina for? That lehukshu lemelach haShamayim, isn't it a drasha from the pasuk? Whatever is a drasha from a pasuk, you don't need a halacha Moshe Misina. The pasuk says you should wear tefillin leman tiyotas Hashem v'ficha ki biyar chazaka otiach Hashem in Mitzrayim. So what does it mean? L'mantia teres Hashem b'ficha. So Gemara Darshan's been amuta b'ficha. You can only write parshios of Shema v'yashma kadesh v'yakiv yecha on parchment that was made from a kosher animal. It was made from an animal that's also b'achila, so that you're not allowed to use that hide to write batim or parshios for the tefillin. So Tosfos is bothered with it. So again, so the Gemara asks the Kasha, What do you need? Allah al Moshe Messina, Lahuch Shalom Allah Shemaim Allah, Brahma Torah Belvad. What do you need it for? If you're talking about the Shal Rosh, you have a shin there. It's Torah Hashem Beficha Min Amuta Beficha. I know without the Halacha Moshe Sinai that the parshias of the Tefillin have to be written on Or Beim Ator Bilvara, Or Beim Ator Bilvad, that it should be considered Min Amuta Beficha from a kosher animal. So the Gemara says, I need Halacha Moshe Sinai for the Ritzuas. I need for the Ritzuas. Why? Because only the Baish al Rosh has the Shin. The Parshias have Psukim, so that's Torah Hashem Mefich. The Baish al Rosh has a Shin on it. So that one Shin is Torah Hashem. So that I know based on the Pasuk, Torah Hashem Mefich, Min Amuta Beficha. But the Baish al Yad, or the Ritzuas, don't have any Oisias at all. So you can't say Torah Hashem Mefich, Min Amuta Beficha. There are no Divrei Torah on the Baish al Rosh and the Baish. On the Ritzuas. No, I say it's on the Ritzuas. No, I say it's on the Baish Al Yad. So for that you need the Halacha Moshe Messina, the Huch Shalom Malach HaShamayim. So Tosfos Sfek Takasha, if Rashi is right, that the reason why the Ummah Yisraelim will be afraid of us is because the Roiv of the Shem, Shin Dalet Yud, the Shin and the Dalet appear on the Shal Rosh, the Shin on the Baish, and the Dalet on the Ritzua in the back. So if you're going to say that, that's a bona fide Dalet, and then the Yud on the Shal Yad is bona fide Yud. So the Ritzuas need or Beim Torah without the Halacha Moshe Messina, the Huch Shalom Halacha Shamayim. They need it because of the drasha from the Pasuk. Manti Torah Hashem Efechem and Amut Efechem. And then we have Divrei Torah. And a Shin, the Gemara said, one letter is Divrei Torah. So the Dalet on the Shal Rosh and the Yud on the Shal Yad is also Divrei Torah. One letter counts as Divrei Torah, so let it also be Divrei Torah. So that's what Tosfos demonstrates. Tosfos holds that Rashi is wrong. That the Dalet and the Shorosh and the Yud and the Shal Yad, it's not their rice, it's only Midrabban. The Gemara says, Kesher Shal Tfilin Halacha Moshe Messina, that there should be a Kesher. It has to be a Kesher, Gabi Kesher, fine. But what the Tzura of the Kesher is, that's only Midrabban. And Rashi holds not so. Rashi holds that the Tzura is a Kesher, it's all part of the Halacha Moshe Messina. There should be a Kesher in the shape of a Dalet for the Shorosh, and a Kesher in the shape of a Dalet for the Ritzur Shorosh, and a Kesher in the shape of a Yud for the Tefillin Shal Yad. So that's the Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, whether the Tzur is HaKesher, the Dalet and Yud, is that the Raisa, or is that, we mean the Raisa, Halacha Moshe Messinai, or is that only the Rabbanan? So that's the Machlekes, yeah. The bottom Tosfos is a famous Tosfos, they're disagreeing with Rashi's Pshat. They had a different Girsa in Rashi. The way we have the Girsa in Rashi, Rashi didn't say differently from Tosfos. Some Mishraim had the Rabbi, and Yenny quotes a different version of Rashi, also doesn't, according to his version, also doesn't contradict Tosfos. But Tosfos quotes a different version of Rashi that doesn't correspond to the way they assume. What did they assume? Anuvart. What did they assume? Rashi seems to be assuming the way Tosfos understood their Rashi. Rashi seems to be assuming that the din is he's supposed to face the Aron Kodesh when you daven in shul. Preferable would be that you put the Aron Kodesh in the direction that when everybody davens facing the Aron Kodesh, they're facing Eretz Yisrael. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said in his tefillah, his Padre Alecha Derech Ho'ir Azos and Derech Artzam. They should face Eretz Yisrael. But let's say for some reason or another they had to make a shul l'chutz l'ot and weren't able to make it in such a way that the tefillahs would face Eretz Yisrael. So we say it doesn't matter. The people, even though they are encouraged, the people are going to face the Aron Kodesh, not facing Eretz Yisrael. Once you have an Aron Kodesh, we assume that represents the Shechina, and the Shechina is there, so we should all face that Aron Kodesh. So all the people in the shul have to face the Aron Kodesh. If there's someone davening outside of the shul, on the other side of the Aron Kodesh, he should have his back to the Eretz Yisrael, and he should be facing the Aron Kodesh over here. Someone's davening on the side of the shul, they should face the Aron Kodesh. Everyone should face the Aron Kodesh. Yeah, that's why Rashi holds. And Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos said there is no such din that you have to face the Aron Kodesh. Din is you have to face Eretz Yisrael. So the Pashto says that Tosfos holds that even if the shul is kakai and the Aron Kodesh is in the wrong direction and you're going to face the Aron Kodesh, you're not going to be facing Eretz Yisrael. So you don't face the Aron Kodesh. You face Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says later. Hispala alecha derech ha'irazos. Hispala alecha derech ha'artzam. You face Eretz Yisrael wherever it happens to be. So again, so that's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. And the Ritzuas, whether the Kesher Shel Rosh, the Dalet, Kesher Shel Yad, the Yud, so Rashi seems to hold that it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. That should be a Dalet and a Yud. And Tosfos seems to hold that it's only Midirabbanan, the Tzuras HaKesher. The Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is that there should be a Kesher. A Kesher Gavi Kesher, Kesher Shel Kayama. That's how the Gemara says in the last parak in Erevin. The Gemara said, there is a machlokes hatanan, what if you make a bow on Shabbos? Is that called Kesher Shel Kayama, Kesher Shena Shel Kayama? So the Gemara says, according to the Tana, that whenever you make a bow, that's a Kesher Shel Kayama, so you can wear tefillin like that. The tefillin only have to have a Kesher Shel Kayama, one Kesher Shel Kayama, and it's good enough. And if you hold, say if you hold that Aniva is a Kesher Shel Kayama, that's Machlokes HaTanaim, then you can make an Aniva on the Ritzua of the Tefillin as well. If you hold Aniva as Kesher Shen Shel Kayama, then the Gemara says it would not be acceptable, wouldn't be permissible to make an Aniva on the Tefillin. You have to have Dafke Kesher Shel Kayama. That's the Gemara. You have to have Dafke Kesher Shel Kayama. So that's a Shaila that Avnei Neza has a wild chiddush. He says when you borrow tefillin from somebody and it doesn't fit, so you readjust it, you take in or you make the ritzuas longer, make it shorter. So usually after we finish davening, we make it back in the shape that it was before. So the one who lent it to me, did me a toy, we should be able to use it right away tomorrow morning. So the Avnei Neza says you shouldn't do that because it'll come out, you will never say the mitzvah of tefillin. Because you had to adjust it, you had to make over the kesher for yourself. And that's a kesher shena shel kayama then, if you take it apart right after you finish davening. You should leave it, to leave it in such a way, that should be a kesher shel kayama. How long do you have to leave it? So Masechet Shabbos, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rashi. Rashi on Masechet Shabbos says, half a year. You leave it either, you make a kesher, and you leave the kesher indefinitely. You don't know if you're ever going to untie it. Or you're going to use it on the Chol HaMoed, basically. How long do you have to leave a kesher that it should be considered a kesher shel kayama for Shabbos purposes? So either you leave it indefinitely, you make a kesher, you plan to leave it indefinitely, you plan to leave it half a year. That's how Rashi writes in Shabbos. So in Shabbos, if I bar a pair of tefillin, I adjust the kesher, then I'm going to untie the kesher. An hour after I've made the kesher, I made the kesher adam shachas, I take off the tefillin, I make the kesher back the way it was when you lent it to me. So it comes out I didn't even have the kesher for 24 hours. That's legamari aroi. So it comes out I wasn't yotzei the mitzvah. So that's a davdei neis has such a chiddush. That if you borrow someone else's tefillin, you adjusted the kesher only for less than 24 hours and then you changed it back the way it was, it's a gloy most mafreya, it didn't have a kesher shel kayama at the time that you put on the tefillin, so you weren't yotze. In Hilchos Shabbos, you need both. It should be a certain shape of a knot, and it should be with the intention to last it indefinitely or half a year. So the shot is how much of that carries over to Hilchos tefillin. Maybe that's only did in Hilchos Shabbos, because in Shabbos, Melechus Machshavos Asotur, so if it's not going to last too long, it's a lack of Melechus Machshavos. But as far as tefillin is concerned, there's no requirement for Melechus Machshavos. The only thing is, if the Tzuras HaKesher is not Shel Kayama, then it's not called a Kesher. That's the Gemara in the last parak in Erevin. The Gemara says, I might say tefillin. The guy finds a pair of tefillin in the garbage, and the garbage collectors are going to collect all the garbage that they're going to incinerate. So you don't want to let them destroy the tefillin, so you want to be matzalit. So the Mishnah says, put on, there's no Erev, so you can't carry it into the house. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, put on the pair of tefillin, wear it, and then walk into the house. And if there are 10 pairs of tefillin, so go quickly, wear one pair, wear it, then put it and take it into the house. Put on another pair and go back, take it into the house, and so on. So the Gemara says there, what if I see the tefillin in the garbage, and the garbage collectors are about to destroy it, and the tefillin don't have any kesher on them? Am I allowed to make the kesher on Shabbos to put it on to be matzalit? So Gemara says, you're not allowed to make a kesher on Shabbos, but what about making an aniva? Can you make an aniva? So the Gemara says, if aniva is a kesher that's acceptable for if you chayv on Shabbos for aniva. There's machlekes hatanaim whether aniva is considered a kesher shel kayam, a kesher shena shel kayam. We pass an ena shel kayam, a bo is ena shel kayam. But if you would have felt that it is shel kayam, then it would be chayv on Shabbos, then it would be kosher for tefillin. If you hold that it's ena shel kayam, then it's not kosher for tefillin. It wouldn't be kosher for tefillin, then you wouldn't be chayv on Shabbos either. So that Gemara says that the laws of kesher shel kayam carry over from Shabbos to hilchas tefillin, because the din of kesher shel kayam is a din in kol ha'tar kulam. The Russian Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza applies it to the Ritzua of the Chalitza Shu. The Ritzua of the Chalitza Shu. Some Rishonim say has to have a kesher, and some Rishonim say has to be a kesher shel kayam. So you have to put a knot, a double knot, a knot on top of another knot. Yeah, but the Shaila is, he's only going to wear the Chalitza Shu for half an hour, for 20 minutes, the whole thing. He puts it on, he walks 2 minutes with the Chalitza Shu. Yavama unties it, she takes it off and she throws it away. That's the end of the whole chalitza. So the whole thing takes less than a half an hour. So why is it good? They tied the kesher. It's a kesher shena shel kayama. So the answer is, how long you plan to leave the kesher, that's only a din in Hilchas Shabbos. That's melechas ma shabbos hasatar. You have to plan to leave it indefinitely. You plan to leave it for half a year. That's a prat only in Hilchas Shabbos. But the tzuras hakesher, that's a din of kol ha'tar kulam. Whenever there's a din of kesher, so on Shabbos there's a din of kesher, tefillin there's a din of kesher, and chalitza shu there's a din in Rishonim. Maybe there is, maybe there's no din of kesher. Maybe there is a din, maybe there's not a din. So if the minhag developed that you put a kesher agavi kesher, then you put a bow on top of that on the chalitza shu. So the Vilna Gaon makes fun over there. He says chumarta de chumarta. Chumarta means a knot. In Aramaic, the Gemara talks about the knots and the chalitza shu. So the Vilna Gaon usually gives Mar Mekayma. So he writes over there on Hilchas Chalitza about the knots. The chumarta de chumarta. Chumarta in Aramaic means it's a knot, and the chumarta means it's a chumar al gabi chumar. Chumarta de chumarta. He makes fun of it. The Shulchan Aruch has chumars that are a joke. Anyway, so this is famous. Davnei Neza has the chiddush. When you borrow tefillin from someone else, you have to leave the new kesher that you made for at least 24 hours. Otherwise, it's mamash a kesher shesh, ena shel kayama, and then you wouldn't be yetzer. My salvation said it doesn't make sense. A kesher that you leave for 24 hours, that's a kesher shel kayama midirabanan. On the level of the raisa, that's not called. It's only called on the level of the raisa, called kesher shel kayama. If you leave it indefinitely, or you leave it for 6 months. But to leave it 24 hours, that's only chumris midirabanan. How does that help? You're going to leave the kesher shel tefillin for 24 hours. On the level of the rice, it's still a kesher shel tefillin. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. His father didn't hold from that chumrah. His father held that that's the waiting to leave the kesher indefinitely for 6 months. That's only a din in Hilchas Shabbos because of Malachas Mashevis. What carries over to Kol HaTor Kula is the Tzuras HaKesher. So whether Aniva is acceptable for tefillin will depend on the Machlokes HaTanoim, whether the tzuras hakesher of aniva is a tzura of a kesher shel kayam. But nobody would require that you have to leave it for a full 24 hours like that. That's what Moshe Soloveitchik said like that. Disagreed with the Avnei Neza. They have in the collection of letters of the Rosh HaTshuver that he thought the Avnei Neza was right. He recommended people should be choshish for Avnei Neza. A lot of people are choshish for that. They have in the history books that when Chazon Ish once visited in Bnei Brak, there was some function he went. He usually lived in Tzfat. When he lived in Bnei Brak, he once visited in Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yankee Moshe Chalap lent him a pair of tefillin. He didn't think he was going to stay overnight. He thought he was going to go back. Something came up. He stayed in Yerushalayim. So he offered him his pair of tefillin, and he said, if you want, you can leave it for 24 hours. If the knot doesn't fit, then you're going to redo the knot. You can leave it for 24 hours if you want to be choshish for the Avnei Neza. I don't remember the end of this story, whether he thought that it was a meaningful chumar or not, because Rav Moshe Soloveitchik didn't think that the Avnei Neza was right. Then we had the Netziv's Gemara. Whoa! The Netziv has this chiddush. Vav on the base on the top line. The Netziv has a chiddush that davening tefillah b'tzibur is a midas chasidus, He thinks Mikra Din, you're not Mechuyev to Davenei Tefillah B'tzibur, and enhances the Tefillah, because the whole purpose of the Tefillah, the Baruch Hashem should listen to the prayers, you stand a better chance of being answered in the affirmative if you daven Tefillah B'tzibur. And Kel Kabir Lo Yemos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mois B'tefillah Sarabim. Yeah, but it's not really a Chiyev to. But if a person is in the habit of davening every day, he's in the practice of davening every day Tefillah B'tzibur, so Minik Toy becomes Binding Mitam Neder. That's the Gemara Nidorim, Adav Tezvav. If a person observes a minig toiv, that's what the Ran quotes the Bali HaTaisus, that the minig developed, the women are in charge of cooking all the food in the kitchen. So the women instituted a minig that you don't have flesh eggs in the 9 days. That's how the Rishonim said. The women were the ones who started that minig, and then the Rabbanim went along, have no choice. The wives are in charge of the kitchen, so they went along with it. So they approved of the minig. So the Ran says, the Ran quotes that, meaning some had a meaning not to eat flesh eggs all 3 weeks, our meaning is only for the 9 days. So the Ran in the Dorim quotes this minig, and he says, that's what the Gemara says, if a person observes a minig toiv several times, and he indicates that he plans to continue like that, even though he never said a neder b'peh, he never said, I take upon myself a shvua neder to continue to observe this midas chasidus, it becomes binding mitam neder midirabbanan. When I tell you always need nefesh kisin shova levate biswasam, you have to pronounce it with your lips. And if just gama believer, you made up your mind to observe a certain midas chasidus, it does become binding b'machshava shebelev. Gama believer tzarch lahitzi biswasov, it only becomes binding when you pronounce it. But midirabbanan a minig tov is binding mitamned. And the same thing if you have a minig a kehillah, so it's considered as if the whole kehillah took a neder. That's where the Ragat Shova points out. You see that not only is there a neder hayochid, there's a neder ha-tzibur. The old tzibur takes a neder. Sometimes you have a minig of all the klal yisrael, a minig ha-poshet. Minig ha-poshet does mean an elementary minig, a minig shen ispashet. All yisrael, the common minig that everybody observes. A minig ha-poshet. So sometimes you have a minig of a yochid, minig of a mishpach, a minig of a ear, a minig ha-poshet of all of klal yisrael. So a minig is binding mitam neder. So you see that there are two parshias of neder. There's a neder ha-yochid, then there's a neder ha-tzibur. So that's binding mitam neder. So the Gemara says, if a person is in the practice, called a rogel over the beis haknesses, he always davens tefillah b'tzibur, v'loy bo yamechon, one day it doesn't come. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to ask, how come he didn't observe his minik? He has a minik type that he always davens tefillah b'tzibur every day. All of a sudden today he's not davening tefillah b'tzibur. So the Gemara says he may be punished for violating that. So the Gemara says, well, why did he not show up in Minyan today? If he went to Dvar Mitzvah, if he had to take a plane and he went to Dvar Mitzvah, that's why. So that's okay. So that's whenever the Minyan Toiv is in conflict with the Dvar Mitzvah, so you observe the Dvar Mitzvah. But if he went for a Dvar Hoshuas, not for a Dvar Mitzvah, that's not right. So you see from the Gemara, the Netziv Kant, you see from the Gemara, a fascinating Kiddush, that whenever there's a conflict between a real Din and a Minyan, even though minig is binding mitam neder midirabbanan, but still, whenever the minig toiv is binding, is in contradiction with the real din, so you observe the real din, you don't observe the minig toiv. The Kesem Mishnah has this on the Rambam. Rav Gusman was a big Talmud Chacham. Passed away a long time ago. He, at a very young age, he was on Rav Chaim Moshe's bezin in Vilna at the age of 18. Because they married a girl who was a Yisayma. The girl's father used to be a dayan on the bezin. And somehow the Kehillah decided if the daughter will marry Talmud Chacham, who is Roy Lekach, they'll put him on the bezin of Rav Chaim Moshe. So Rav Gusman married the daughter and he joined the bezin. He had a lot of shaykhs with Rav Chaim Moshe. So he has Kuntva Se Shurim. He published on a few Masechtas his Shurim, which are very beautiful. So in the end of the Sefer on Kiddushin, he has a whole essay. Sometimes a woman is not able to conceive, to become pregnant, because we have chumras, how long she has to wait till she goes to the mikvah. So sometimes the real dinim, sometimes real dinim deraisa, sometimes real dinim derabbanan, and sometimes they're only chumras, midas chasidus. So whenever Rav Gusman has, whenever it's only a chumra, a minig, so the Gemara said that's only a minig, that's not a real din. So So the Rishonim have a machloket. Maybe that was in the days of the Gemara, it was only a minig. But today, that it's already so many centuries later, and the Gemara says, Hechad nog, nog, hechad lo nog, lo nog. The Gemara says there wasn't a universal minig. Some communities, they didn't have the minig. But as man as everybody has that minig. So maybe today's binding, maybe it's a real dimmer, the Rabbanim today. So that's a machloket of Rishonim. So the Shach points out in Yerudeya, no, we pass even as man as that. And I say, Lechmir Alatzman is only a minig, it's not a real din. So that's what Rav Gusman has. What if the chumr, the minig, toiv, of waiting all Yeshiva Nikim in all cases, sometimes it's only a minig and not even a din de Rabbanim. What if it causes conflict with the ability to fulfill Pirei Berivya? That's a real din, and this is only Midas Chasidus. So he quotes the Kesef Mishnah, the Netziv says the same over here. Whenever there's a conflict between a real din and a minik ta'if, so the real din takes precedence. So the Kesef Mishnah says that that's pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Korban Pesach that when you broil the Korban Pesach, you're supposed to broil the whole thing rosh al krov val kirba. You're not supposed to slice it into pieces, limb chops, before you broil it. It would broil better if you slice it up beforehand, so the eish can hit all the sides. But the din is you have to broil the whole thing rosh al krov val kirba. You broil everything all together. So the Rambam says, when you broil a Korban Pesach, you can't broil everything. Everything, you have to take out the chaylev and burn it on the mizbech. Then you have to cut out chutei dam. If you're going to broil the Korban Pesach with the big, if you broil meat, so the broiling, tzlia will remove the dam. The dam will fall down on the floor. Just like salting removes the dam, so broiling will also remove all the dam. But medvam amurim, the dam in the capillaries will drip down. But the dam, the big fat arteries and the veins, that's going to remain. So you have to cut out, before you broil the Korban Pesach, the Rambam writes, you have to cut out the chaylev, burn it on the mizbech, and then you have to cut out the chutei dam, the big veins and the big vessels. So then the broiling will accomplish to remove the dam and the capillaries. It won't be a problem. Then after you finish broiling it, then you cut out the gitanosh. You're not allowed to eat the gitanosh. So the Ravid asks, the Ravid writes very sharply, if I would be there in the Beis Hamikdash, I would take this man's carbon and throw it on the floor and tell him, you can't eat that carbon. You broiled it with the Gilanasha. You made the whole thing treif. So you're not allowed to eat the whole carbon pesach. So the Kesef Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. Why did the Rambam say, after you broil it, then you cut out the Gilanasha? Why don't you cut it out before? So he says, the Gemara in Chulin has a machlokes. Hatanayim, whether yesh begidim b'naisen tam, ain't begidim b'naisen tam. So we paskin ain't begidim b'naisen tam. The gitanasha never asks the flesh, so that you don't have to worry about. So if the din would be gitanasha would ask the flesh, you would have no choice. You would have to cut out the gitanasha before you broil the carbon pesach. But since the gitanasha does not serve, so you may as well broil the whole carbon pesach the way it is, and make sure you cut out the gitanasha before people start to eat. And no one should eat the gitanasha. But then the Kesef Mishnah asks, what about the Shuman Agid? Shuman Agid, as the Gemara says, the fat on top of the Gid is Mutam and Atar, but it's also Midi Rabban, and the Shuman Agid is Yeshbo B'naisen Tam. That tastes like regular fat. So you're going to broil the Korban Pesach with the Shuman Agid, which is not awesome and Atar, but it's also Midi Rabban, so that's going to asa the whole Korban Pesach. So the Kesef Mishnah comes up with this fantastic answer. He says, the Lashon HaGemara is Shuman Agid is Mutam and Atar. Yisrael kedoshim noag bo iser. The Jewish people are holy, and they have a minig that they don't eat it. So he says, Shuman Agid is not even asam et derabbanan. It's only asam etam minig. So since it's asam etam, it's only asam etam minig, so he, Kesef Mishnah says, whenever you have a conflict between a minig and a real din, then the real din takes precedence. Here, on the one hand, there's a minig you don't eat, Shuman Agid. On the other hand, there's a real din, Rosh al Karov al Kirba. He's supposed to broil the whole Korban Pesach together. So the real chaylev, you have no choice. You have to take out before you broil it. And the real chutei dam, you have to cut it out. You can't fulfill the rosh al-krov al-kirba. It'll make the whole thing treif. But something is only a chumra, mitam minig, that if gitanasha, if the shuman agid would have been also midirabbanan, then you would cut it out before you broil the korban pesach. Because midirabbanan, it's treif, and it's going to make everything treif. You don't always say as a dechalei says. But if it's only awesome, itam minig, so whenever the minig is conflict with the real din, then the din takes precedence. So that's what the Kesef Mishnah interprets in the Rambam. And that's what the Netziv interpreted in this Gemara. So that's what Rav Gusman said. Sometimes waiting Shibinikim, very often waiting Shibinikim is a real dim of the Rabbanan. But a lot of times it's only a minik, so whatever, it's only a minik, so the tzarech to fulfill the mitzvah, peririvya, takes precedence over the observance of the minik. Then the Gemara talks about the significance of davening b'mokon kavua. What's so significant about it? A lot of times a person's tefillah is not so gewaldic, but if he davens always in the same spot, so some of the tefillahs that he offered the last 20 years were gewaldic, so the tefillah that he offers today will be accepted b'tzir of all the other tefillahs that he said. The same thing is better to daven b'tzibur, because if he davens all by himself, the Gemara in Soita gives that marshal. If a person davens all by himself, b'yichidus, so it's like I'm selling an apple to another person. If the apple is spoiled, the apple is rotten, so he's going to ask for his money back. But if I sell him a whole bushel full of apples and one or two are going to be rotten, that's self-understood, that it's not a mekach tor. So a whole bushel of apples, some of them are going to be spoiled. So if a person davens tefillah b'yochid and he's the only one who's davening, and his davening is rotten, so it won't be accepted. But if he davens tefillah b'tzibur, so one rotten apple in the whole bushel of apples, so the bushelim has to accept even the rotten apple. So that's what the Gemara says, the significance of davening tefillah b'tzibur, because the tefillah will be accepted b'tzir if everybody else is, and the significance of davening kaveh makom the tefillah, so the tzlach learns pshat makom kaveh makom tefillah, so today's tefillah is mitzurif with all the other tefillahs that he davened in the same location, and some of them were taka nice tefillahs, he davened nicely, so even if today he's not davening so beautifully, but it's accepted b'tzirif with all the other tefillahs that he davened in that location. That's what the Gemara has a lashon, the tzlach, that's what the Gemara, ukishameis, when the person dies and you deliver hesped, so you say, hechosed heyonam b'talmino shal Avraham Avinu. He follows in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu that he was kaveh makom letfilosa, as it says, vayashkem Avraham al hamakom, shohayasham, shohamacham batchilo. Shohamacham, he davened the same place that he always used to daven. So the Gemara shows that Avraham Avinu did it. Why is it called hechased heyonav? How does it show humility? Because of the fact that he davens kaveh makom letfilosa. So that's what the tzlach said. If the person feels that his prayer is not so worthy, he's a humble person, he thinks maybe his prayer is not so worthy, not really being answered. So that's why he's davening, his kaveh makom tefillah, so this prayer should be accepted. It's here for all the other prayers that he used to daven over here. Some of them were taka le'ela le'ela. Some of the prayers were reasonable and proper. So that's why you say, hey, onav. It's a sign of humility. If he davens the kaveh makom tefillah, he feels that his prayer is not really worthy of being answered. Only b'tzir for all the other prayers that he offered in the same location. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, there was a little give and take. Tomorrow I won't be able to give a shiur. I have to go to the OU. Every year there's a national conference.
You know, this one said that every shiur is rescheduled to 11:20. So if everyone comes a 9 o'clock shiur, it means I guess at around 10.
I should give a 9 o'clock shiur to 10 o'clock.
Something like that.
Okay. I'll give a chazar 9 to 10. Okay, thank you. A lot of boys in yeshiva, after they go there, it's just so they don't say Baruch Hashem. Even when they come back, they don't say. After Minyan here, it doesn't say Baruch Hashem, you're on a bad mind. So sometimes the person doesn't say either. He just waits to give everybody a chance.